Hello, everyone. Today's devotional comes from Romans chapter 6. If you have your Bible with you, you could open up to Romans chapter 6 and we'll read this together. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So far in this letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul laid out for us what the gospel means. We jump right in previously from Romans chapter 5, where Paul talks about how Christ died for us while we were still sinners, and how Adam brought sin and death into the world, whereas Christ brings about grace and life. So we pick up here in chapter 6, where Paul now begins to describe to us what this gospel means for our lives once we've received it. Because Paul emphasized grace so much in the previous chapters, he knows the inevitable question that's coming, and that is, can we keep sinning because we have God's grace? And the answer, of course, is a resounding, by no means. And this is because when we receive the gospel, we are no longer under the grip of sin, but free and alive in God. Verse 12 and 13 say, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness." When we've received something as good and perfect as life in God through Christ, how can we turn back to our old ways? Our old self is crucified so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. I like how Paul describes this in the next half of the passage. He says that we are no longer slaves of sin, but slaves of God. Now, when he says slaves of God, he doesn't mean that in a negative way, of course, but more along the lines of, who do we listen to and obey? He then asks this rhetorical question in verse 21, but what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? Basically, what good did sin bring for you? And the answer is nothing. But when we become, quote-unquote, slaves of God, the fruit we receive from it is eternal life, which is everything. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is why we no longer live in sin. It's not because we must be perfect and spotless in order to gain favor from God. Paul already established throughout the letter of the Romans so far that salvation is purely through faith in Jesus alone. But we no longer live in sin because there's nothing waiting on the other side of sin except death. By dying to our sin and instead living for God under grace, there is everything to expect, and that is eternal life. God loves us so much that he desires for us to have life. And the only way to have it is to go to the author of life himself, to live for him and according to his ways. Other things outside of God, our sin, might have deceivingly attractive looks on the outside, but the fruit it bears is rotten, not good for eating, and it leads to death. This sentiment from God can be seen all the way back in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, specifically in chapter 30, where God lays out for the people of Israel two choices, life and good, or death and evil. And when he does so, when he lays out these choices for the Israelites, God doesn't leave them to their own devices, saying, here are the two choices, good luck. But God implores the Israelites. In verse 19, he says, therefore, choose life. God wants us to have life, to choose him. And as his children who have received his grace, let's actively die to our sin and choose him every day. Let's choose life. Lord, we thank you that you offer us life. Not a glimpse of life, but eternal life to the full. You desire for us to have life in you. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways that we have been forgetful. We are so naive at times to believe that certain sin in our lives would lead to some sort of satisfaction. But you make it abundantly clear that this is false. Help us, Lord, to seek you and to die to our sins, not to earn your favor, but Lord, as a response of gratitude for the blessing you have already given and promised us as we place our faith in Christ. May we choose life every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.